Please be seated. When I was in grammar school, oh, so many years ago, you're not supposed to laugh like that. But when I was in grammar school, early summer mornings, my siblings and I would walk up the hill to the town swimming pool. Now, I say swimming pool, it really was a lake with a wall on three sides, but it was our town pool. But we walked there for swimming lessons. And I remember in a beginning class, the requirement was that we jump into the water in the deep end near the diving tower. And then we had to swim from that point what seemed a huge, interminable distance out to a rope that floated with buoys. And then we had to come back. As I say, that distance seemed to me immense. It was dangerous. That water was so deep. I was afraid of that water. The first times I attempted to swim, I started out strongly, moving bit by bit, doing my dog paddle. But then I'd reach the midway point, I think about that deep water, and I lost my nerve. I was afraid. I doubted I could do this. And once that happened, it was over. I could not swim out to that rope. Now, sometimes I just turned around in some shame and went back to the ladder to try again another day. On one occasion, though, I remember becoming so afraid that I just froze and I started faltering in the water. And thank goodness there was a teenage aide who swam along with each swimmer and pulled me up. The challenge of swimming across that deep water out to that rope far away was a physical task that I was perfectly capable of doing. But what prevented me from achieving my goal was doubt. I became afraid. And once I doubted my ability, once I was afraid, there was no way I could finish that. It was only over time that I came to realize I don't have to be afraid of deep water. I can swim to that rope. And once I let go of that doubt and that fear, once I believed in my ability, I could do it. I swam out and I swam back, and then fast forward a few years, and I'm in advanced swimming lessons, and I am there every day swimming multiple laps the length of that pool. In today's gospel, Peter suffers a lack of confidence caused by doubt. When Peter sees Jesus walk toward them on the water, Peter asks to do the same. The backstory is Jesus has gone away with his disciples, having dismissed the crowds following them. Then Jesus goes up a mountain alone to pray, and while he prays, the disciples are in a boat. And that boat becomes battered by wind, by waves, through the night. And early in the morning, Jesus walks out to them towards that boat on the water. The disciples are terrified. They worry Jesus is a ghost. In the ancient world, water was especially scary. It was believed that water was a source of chaos. Think of Genesis, creation of the world. God creates the world from the chaos. But also, the water was the place where demons and ghosts dwelled and had reign. So no surprise, they are terrified. Jesus reassures them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Perhaps you hear echoes in that of other parts of Scripture, such as when God is talking with Moses at the burning bush. When God tells Moses God's name is, "I am who I am." Or maybe echoes from John's Gospel, where several times we hear Jesus say, "I am," offending the religious leaders for making himself equal with God. After Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, it is I," Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." So Peter gets out of that boat and takes his first steps, walking on the water. But then I imagine he realizes what he's doing. He's walking on water. He sees the wind. He feels the wind. He sees those waves. And he becomes frightened. He loses confidence. He doubts. Walking on water is not something we are supposed to be able to do. And once that happens, Peter sinks. And as he sinks, he cries out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reaches out his hand and catches Peter, bringing him to safety. Jesus says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And Peter and Jesus get into the safety of the boat. And then the wind ceases, and they are safe once again. After they experience all this, the disciples worship Jesus, literally prostrate themselves at his feet. They acknowledge that in Jesus is one who has power over the forces of creation. Jesus walks on water. Jesus has Peter walk on water. Jesus calms the storm. Jesus saves Peter when he sinks. The disciples in this experience glimpse the nature of Jesus, who he is, the one with power over creation, and they declare Jesus for themselves to be the Son of God. In the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus is that faithful shepherd leading and caring for God's people. And Jesus walks out on the water to the boat because the disciples are in trouble. They are buffeted by wind and waves, and so Jesus comes to their aid. Jesus also accepts Peter's doubt. He doesn't say, "What's wrong with you? Why'd you screw up?" He allows Peter to have his doubt and then makes Peter safe again. Matthew shows Jesus is faithful in seeking out God's people, especially when they are in need. And Jesus comes to them, rescues them, and saves them. The account also suggests that our life of faith is in part about taking risks. It's about daring to trust God's grace and power. Following Jesus involves trusting that God is faithful. And trusting in God, then going out into the scary places, knowing God is with God's people always, knowing that especially when we might lose confidence, we might be afraid. Peter can walk on that water as long as he believes it is possible, as long as he trusts that God is supporting him, that God is there so he can do the seemingly impossible. But when Peter takes his eyes off Jesus, when Peter notices the strong wind, the waves, the deep water, when he remembers, "We can't walk on water," he falters. His confidence wavers, he forgets Jesus supports him, and he sinks. This story, I think, is telling us something very important about following Jesus, about discipleship. Some interpreters go so far to suggest that the church is like that boat. That we, and actually if you look at the ceiling, it's not hard to imagine that. That we are in this boat in the stormy waters of the world, buffeted by temptations, by trials. We live in this world, we follow Jesus moving through these stormy seas. We all experience difficult times. We all know times of doubt, of fear, just like Peter did. And there are times when we may even feel inadequate, unprepared, even afraid, maybe worried that we lack what we need to face the challenges before us. I think it's exactly in those times that Jesus bids us come. That Jesus calls us out of the safety of the boat into those stormy waters, trusting him, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, not looking at those waves, not losing our nerve as the wind howls or we know how deep that water is. But should we lose our nerve? Should we become afraid, trusting that Jesus is there to rescue us, to bring us to safety? In our first lesson, the prophet Elijah also experiences God's faithfulness in the midst of stormy times, just like Peter does. It's helpful to know what happens before today's passage. I'll give you a brief summary. In the chapter before today's lesson from the first book of Kings, Elijah has earned the wrath of Jezebel by killing 400 of the prophets of the false god Baal. And so Jezebel threatens to kill Elijah in retribution. And so Elijah runs in fear for his life. He's sure he's in danger, but also that he is a failure and that he is alone. He believes all the people have turned away from God. He stands there with no one with him. And so Elijah runs out into the desert and he lies under a broom tree. And he prays that God will kill him, that God will take his life. But God doesn't. Instead, twice, God provides Elijah with food and water. God allows Elijah to sleep. Then God leads Elijah to Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, that mountain of God, and tells Elijah to stand on the mountain. God will pass by. And then there's wind, there's an earthquake, there's fire. God's not in those, but God is in the sheer sound of silence. And from that silence, God tells Elijah, go back and do the vocation to which I called you, be my prophet. God assures Elijah that God will punish those who have worshipped false gods, and that God will spare the 7,000 Israelites who are faithful, who have not worshipped Baal. Elijah was not alone, as he thought. And Elijah is certainly not a failure. When Elijah feels he has failed, God comes to him, feeding him, restoring him. God is faithful to Elijah. Again, God does not chastise Elijah for his doubt, saying, how can you think that? God accepts them. And God gives Elijah a time of restoration and renewal so then he can resume his vocation. And God restores Elijah to the community, removing his isolation, his loneliness. And God is present with Elijah, especially coming to him in that silence, in that still small voice. Just as Jesus goes off alone to pray, so Elijah encounters God in quiet on the mountain alone. I think this reminds us how important it is to have those times we are quiet in God's presence, allowing the stillness to be restoring, to renew us, while we listen for God's presence in quiet, in prayer. In those times, we can become aware of God's faithfulness, of how God provides everything we need to live, that calling God gives us. We can trust in God's loving faithfulness. Our faith in God is strengthened by those times so that we can face the challenges and the dangers of this world. It is through God's grace and strength that we can actually face our fears directly, that we can gaze upon God, following where God leads. Just as Peter entered the stormy waters buffeted by the wind, so Jesus calls us to get out of the boat, says to us, come, to get out of that safe place and into the stormy waters, not looking back, not looking down, confronting our fears directly, taking that risk to follow Jesus. And I don't say this lightly. I know we live in difficult and very stormy times. There's much uncertainty and anxiety. We have doubts. Maybe sometimes we are frightened. Maybe we wonder, are we up to the task before us? Maybe we doubt our ability to face the altered realities of the age in which we now are, to confront the challenges before us. Jesus bids us to come, to let go of our doubts and worries, our fears and anxieties, because Jesus promises to walk beside us and to catch us when we sink. And Jesus assures us that life abundant awaits us if we but trust him. And we don't need any special preparation or qualifications beyond the reality that we are beloved of God. We can trust God's faithfulness. We can listen for God's voice. We can follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us. The Spirit gives us everything we need to set out on this journey and never look back. The Spirit gives us all we need to trust the one who is the Son of God, who has power over the forces of this world, and who promises always to protect and save and lead God's people into the fullness of divine life. Amen.